Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are still talking about Colossians 4:5, which says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." We need wisdom in order to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ, because people who are outside the church, who have never been inside the church, or some who have been in very unhealthy churches, have serious misconceptions about Christianity. And so we need to walk wisely, behave wisely. We have a responsibility to do so. This is actually a command. It is not a suggestion. It is a requirement to conduct ourselves with the reputation of Christ and the gospel in mind. Now, you've heard that before. I know. We've all heard that before. But it really needs to sink in. I think too often our first thought when we make decisions about what we will do, how we will dress, what kinds of behaviors that we will adopt and so forth, I think in many cases, most cases, the first consideration is, how will this impact me? Instead of, how will this impact Christ? But Paul is telling us to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time, in reference to our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that the way we behave and the way we speak will either give credibility or deny credibility to what we say in regard to Christ and in regard to our own profession of faith as Christians. And there is no question about it that there are people who profess Christ but live like the world. They say they are on the inside, but they are acting like they are on the outside. And that's not the point. We are to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. But that doesn't mean that we are to live like them. One of the most important areas for significant testimony is to demonstrate the difference Christ makes. Where do we get the idea that we make people interested in Christ best by being just like them? I guess the idea is you don't have to be stuffy to be a Christian. And so there's a big, area of ministry, a philosophy of ministry today that says the way to reach people is to act just like them, go where they go, go to the bars with them, go to the nightclubs with them. Let them know how much of a down-to-earth person you are, and that's the best way to reach them. I don't think so. Well, Jesus ate with sinners and fellowshipped with them, and indeed he did. And I recognize that some of these statements about how we ought to behave in order to be wise toward those who are outside and bear good testimony for Christ, I recognize that some of these concepts are a bit subjective and may have to do more with our culture and background than with what is best and helpful in this area. But one thing is for sure, when Christ was eating with sinners, there was no question that there was no question as to whether or not he was one of them. He was with them to show an interest in them, but there was no doubt that he was distinct from them, different from them, and that showed by his speech and by his behavior. And that's the point. We have got to be standouts. We've got to be distinct. And I'm afraid so many people who adopt that philosophy of I'm going to go with them, do with them, be with them in order to win them, end up being so much like them that why should I become a Christian? It doesn't make any difference in your life. Why will it make any difference in mine? Now, that's a real problem, isn't it? So we need to walk wisely, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Well, I must pause and welcome you to this Thursday, May 25 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for tuning in today, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Yes, we really do have to be careful about this idea of trying to win people to Christ by acting and looking like the world. And there are Christians who do that even though they don't sin like the world. We all sin in more ways than we should. All Christians sin. We have not reached sinless perfection, but I know Christians who don't sin like the world sins. They don't go out and get drunk. They aren't sleeping around. They're not behaving like the world, but they sure look like the people who are doing those things. And I'm not quite sure what the point is, except I think in many cases it is a desire to be liked by the world and to be thought cool by the world. Now again, these are somewhat nebulous areas and a certain amount of subjectivity to it, but when our primary motive is to be thought of as cool and to be liked by the world, then I don't know that we're organizing our behavior with the thought of what is most attractive to people in regard to Christ. Again, it's back to me. What will make me look good? What will make me look cool? What will make people like me? And that's not the point. The point is we are to endeavor to make Christ likable, to make him not cool, but to make him clear, to clear away the misconceptions that so many people have about him. And so to walk wisely toward those who are outside means that we don't want to reinforce common misconceptions. And one of those misconceptions is that there really is no difference between Christians and non-Christians, between the church and the world. It's just a matter of making a profession of faith, but going on and living exactly as before. There's no difference, and unfortunately, in many cases, that's all too true, because there are so many people who make professions of faith who've never been changed. They've never really been born again. And so they go on living as they were before because they are as they were before. But, dear friend, that's not the way we are supposed to behave. There are so many interrelated problems here, it's hard to know where to begin. One of the problems is a style of evangelism that encourages people to pray a prayer and consider themselves saved, whether there's any evidence of regeneration or not. I was talking to someone about a large citywide evangelistic crusade that I led our church to be involved in back in the 70s. This goes way, way back. It was held in a nearby city in a coliseum. Many thousands of people came. Many thousands of people went forward, walked the aisle. Many thousands of people went to inquiry rooms, were dealt with by counselors who had been trained by the staff workers for this particular crusade. And 6 months later, the pastor who had led the effort to try to get churches to join together to sponsor this crusade called a meeting of the pastors who were involved, and nearly all of them, all of us, I should say, showed up. There were 50 or 60 pastors present, and he was talking about what had taken place and how many people had gone forward and how many people had been, quote, saved, end quote. I don't know if he used that language or not, but had made a profession of faith, had been dealt with, had prayed to ask Christ to save them. And the training of the workers was to direct these people back to one of the churches, one of the sponsoring churches. They knew the location of all of these sponsoring churches, and so residence information from the person who had come forward, they would direct them to one of these sponsoring churches. So now the pastors are together, and the question is, how many of these, I think there were hundreds, several hundreds of professed converts. Let's find out how many of these converts have come to your churches, have helped your churches as a result of your participation in this crusade. How many of you have people from the crusade who are attending your church 6 months later? One hand was raised, just one. And in that case, it was only one person. Well, that's one of the things that really got me to thinking, and I don't want to go down that train necessarily, but that is one of the problems. There were hundreds of people who went away from the crusade professing to be Christians, to be a Christian. As far as we can tell, only one of them showed up at church. Where did the other, let's say, 599 go? Not to church. As far as we can tell, they didn't show up in the churches, the sponsoring churches of the crusade. So how are they now living? Well, in all likelihood, no different than they were before. So what's the difference now? The difference is they've walked forward in a crusade, been counseled in regard to salvation, prayed a prayer, been told that they are now going to heaven because they prayed the prayer. They leave with a sense of false security, go right back to living the way they did before. And are we surprised that there are a lot of people in the world who think that Christians are no different from the world? If they see very many people like that, what else could they conclude? So it is important that we demonstrate a biblical difference, not an artificial difference. I don't think there's any spiritual value in wearing clothes that make Christians look odd any more than there is any spiritual value in wearing ostentatious clothes that make Christians look cool. Both of them can be counterproductive because they're in both cases, what's happening is the clothes are calling attention to the person, to me, not to Christ. I can't gather anything from the New Testament account of Jesus and the disciples that makes me think that they, in the way they dressed and in the way they appeared, looked any different from the average Jewish man of their day. They didn't dress any different. They didn't wear their hair any different. In those respects, they look just like everybody else. But oh, what a difference Christ made in their thinking, in their speech, in their activities, in their interests, in their entertainments. What a difference Christ made in their lives. They were different, very different from people in the world around them, not because they wore a different style robe, not because they wore a different style haircut, but because they had an entirely different mindset. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.